Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Lord Jesus, you and your word have said that you want us to have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and spiritual hearts, that we might hear you, the spiritual things that you tell us, that we might see you work in our lives spiritually as we recognize you, and that our hearts spiritually would receive, Father, what you have for us to receive, and that we would give ourselves totally and completely to you. And your purposes and your plans for our lives are always, always the best answer for our life. And I just pray, Father, please, that you help us to be faithful to you in following you in faith and obedience and in joy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is Further Into the Deep. And we've been talking about going out into the deep. Launch out into the deep, which is that sign in the back of the sanctuary, and the practical aspect of going out into the deep in ministry out in our community. And then we talked about also going out into the deep as far as how do we spiritually dive into the things of God in a way that will enrich our lives. And so that's what we've talked about last week, that we need to cast our net of faith into the deep waters of God. How? Through prayer, Bible study, being in his presence, his joy, his spirit, and his heart. Let me ask you, the joy that we find in Jesus, is that joy maintained? Now, that's a rhetorical, you don't have to answer me. But this is what I want you to understand, is that when we're pressed hard, when life is difficult, when we're going through times that emotionally, physically, spiritually are difficult, that we can rejoice in that because at the end of those difficult times, God always has a blessing. Always. And so we can have the inner joy of God in our life, knowing that God is working that blessing in our lives, even though we're going through a difficult time. And so we need to trust the Lord with those difficult times. And so we've talked about how we have deep experiences in God and blessings from God because of our fulfillment in Christ, right? We find his joy because of our relationship with him. We recognize his spirit working in and through our life. We recognize that his heart is being revealed to us as he talks to us and reveals his will in our life. And we can go on through prayer and Bible study and being in his presence. And so those are deep experiences that we're not just for our own fulfillment, right? Our own fulfillment in Christ. It's not for the purpose that we get filled up just for ourselves, right? But it's to be an overflow to others. And we talked about that last week, that as we grow closer to Christ, that he fills up our cup and our cup overflows. And, you know, when you read that in the Psalms, in Psalm 23, it's you think, oh, great, more blessings that I can't contain them. Well, maybe. But they're also the blessing of knowing that the work of God in your life and the joy of your relationship with God is overflowing to other lives. And so we talked about that as well, not just to impact other brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially to impact the lost. That people will see that through those pressed hard times, through the pressure, through the difficult times, that if they can see a joy in our life. Now, I'm not talking about exuberant joy where you're leaping, jumping, laughing, all that stuff, whatever. I'm saying, as far as being external joy, but when they see the joy of the peace of God and the joy you find in Christ through that time, that is part of the overflow that touches other people's lives, believers and non-believers. And they see God working in your life. So we're to let the overflow of the fullness of God in our lives, because we've cast our net of faith into prayer, into Bible study, into his presence, into his joy, his spirit, and his heart. And again, it overflows, as I've mentioned. And doing that will help us to fulfill the Great Commission. Right? If we're filled up and our life is overflowing on others, then it's setting up for us to reach people for Christ. And that's part of the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Remember, the Great Commission is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment, right? Baptizing them in the name of Jesus, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. right? I'm paraphrasing, taking a part of that, but that's what we're to do. We're going to read it right now in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Don't you find that an amazing statement? It shows part of the Trinity, that the Father has assigned all authority to him. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission is not an option. It is a commandment. So our lives are supposed to be filled. Our lives are supposed to overflow. Our lives are supposed to impact believers and non-believers. And our lives are to be used to lead people to Christ and to help them to grow in the Lord. So to influence and reach the lost, we need to dive deep into the depth and greatness of God. We said, well, you've already kind of touched on that, Pastor. You've already talked about being involved in prayer, Bible study, etc., right? But I'm talking about diving even deeper. And you might be saying, oh, come on, Pastor. I mean, give us a break. This is enough right here, right? But in reality, the point is I don't want it to be a burden. The point is that we have the joy of being able to dive deeper into God as we cast our nets of faith. So how do we do that? Again, last week I spoke more generally about being in the Word, praying, or praying to help us do that. First thing is you start asking God. God, you might sense already, you might know already, I'm not reading God's Word like I ought to. God, please help me to read God's Word. Work it into my schedule to where it fits, even if it's for 5 minutes. Help me to start developing the habit to be in your Word. We begin to pray about the things that we know that we're falling short in our spiritual walk with God in. And we ask him to help us with that. And so begin by praying and asking God that. Today I want to address ways to dive deep more specifically than in those areas. When speaking about diving into the Word deeper to reach the depths of God, you need to go beyond just reading the Word, but actually studying in a variety of ways. It burdens me to think that the word study is a burden to believers. And that sometimes it's a challenge. I'm not saying everybody, whatever. I'm just saying in general, study. One, you're reading your Bible, right? You know, we know statistically that most believers aren't. But to say they'll study it, that's kind of hard. And I mentioned that before, that in studying, it doesn't have to be a massive study, but you can read your cross-references in your Bible or your footnotes just to begin doing that. And start digging a little deeper, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and help you to explore God's Word a little bit more. As you know, I've been teaching our paleo classes. Paleo Hebrew is not for everybody, right? But it's another form. And so this example I want to give you is not to promote that, but just to give an example of how we have opportunity to grow deeper in the Word of God. And there are multiple ways beyond this. But if you look at Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's a simple statement, right? But if you study the paleo, which is a pictogram, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and you study each letter of each word, and that has meaning, and that meaning, it breaks down that verse, but that those meanings that we see support the verse that we're studying from. And so what I want to do is, again, read Genesis 1:1, and then I'm going to read it in the summary of what we got from paleo. And I'm not going to focus on that. It's not about teaching paleo or anything like that. It's just an example of an avenue of study. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is what the summary of that is in paleo. The Son of God, sent from the Father's house, pressed himself by his own will to the cross. The Son of God, together with the Father, created what the Father led him to create. Now you're saying, well, that doesn't even touch Genesis 1:1 at all, but wait. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, did a mighty work securing redemption, salvation for mankind. God the Father and Jesus, the beginning and the end, agreed to reveal their signature mark for God in the heavens, distinguishing God's dwelling place separate from mankind, which is on earth, right? And nailed God, Jesus, to the cross to reveal God's Son, desire him. We got that depth of what it means. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it really was a contents of saying that this is the contents of what's yet to come. Where the whole idea is the gospel, and winning people to Christ to have a right relationship with God. So it doesn't matter if we absorb what I just read or not. The point being is that we can learn deeper things about God's word. The opportunities are endless in all different avenues. But God wants us to be in his word enough to study it, to learn from it. And you can begin with your cross references in your Bible, right? Or your footnotes. So we gained a lot more information there, all right? Okay? And let me just state that from the beginning, God had a plan. That's not a hard one to assume. That's an easy thing to understand. God had a plan from the very beginning. What depth and riches we can gain from studying God's word using original language text, culture, and multiple commentaries, his word can help us dive into his greatness. In our class, not studying the Paleo, but we were looking at the time, Jewish time. You might say, well, that's not that big of a deal, but it's set up differently than our time. So when you read the Bible and it says you've come to, you know, Jesus died at the ninth hour, you don't know what that means. But it means 3 o'clock. But as you look at that, you gain more information. You get what I'm saying? The more information we can learn, the more we can understand God's word and not skim the surface. And there's power on the surface, don't get me wrong, but we can dive deeper in faith in the word and have open ears, spiritual ears that are open, eyes and heart that are spiritually open to receive the deeper things of God. And that's really the point of this message, is to receive the deeper things of God. Now look what King David said in regard to the greatness of God. 1 Kings 8:27 through 28. He says this. Now, before I read that, before you read it on the board, we shifted from studying deeper to what King David said about the greatness of God, and I missed a link. What is the benefit of digging deeper into God's word by study? We learn the greatness of God. We walk away with spiritual wows. I never saw that before. I never realized that before. Oh, that makes sense more than what I realized before. Those type of things. So this is King David, and he says, but God will really live here. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a prayer. This is in response to a prayer. David had prayed a prayer. We're not looking at the prayer. That's not the focus. We're looking at the perspective that David, King David had toward God. That should help a little bit. But God, will you really live here with us on the earth? We know prophecy says that, right? Right? We do know that in the millennial reign and in the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, the whole sky and the highest heaven cannot contain you. All the universe that's still not explored cannot contain the wonder and the greatness of God. That's not just David's opinion. This is God's word led by the Holy Spirit to write it, that the greatness of God, the universe cannot even contain. Whew. Right? Okay. Certainly this temple that I built cannot contain you either. The Jewish temple. But please listen to my prayer and my request. I am your servant and you are the Lord my God. Hear this prayer that I am praying to you today. What do you find that's wonderful or amazing about that dialogue with God? What do you see in contrast? You see the vastness of God and his greatness and the love of God allowing you or me or King David to approach him and talk to him. We have that benefit. We have that blessing. We have that opportunity. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that dowry, if you will, is the bride of Christ, that we belong to him and he's in us and we are in him, and we have opportunity to talk to our Creator, who is so great beyond our universe that nothing can contain his greatness. And yet we can approach him. That was David's humble heart. I can approach you. Even in the greatness of who you are, I don't have to be afraid to approach you because I can and because you want me to. And so when we're looking at prayer time, you know, prayer is powerful. Hell's gates shake when God's people pray. Honestly, because there's power in prayer. Very much so. And we see the effects of prayer when we pray and we see God dealing with the things that we've talked to him about and we hear from him. We grow in faith. And so we can dive deeper from that perspective in God. David acknowledged the greatness of God. We know it, but acknowledge it. How great you are, Lord. Father, you are so great. Jesus, you created everything that there is. Nothing was made without you, and it was all made for you, right? And for your glory. And you allow me to have a relationship with you. How great is our God? The greatness of God is incomprehensible and inexcusable. Right. I said it wrong. The greatness of God is incomprehensible and inexhaustible. I think God and the Holy Spirit just want to emphasize that and that little mishap. And yet it is available to each of us without limitations from God. God says, come to me. Talk to me. Cling to me. Love me. Know me. Explore me. I will not hold back. I will not hold back. The greatness of God is, again, incomprehensible and inexhaustible, and yet it is available to each of us without limitations from God. What a gift. I want to encourage you to read Job 38 on your own time, because it's a long chapter, but it is an amazing chapter that focuses on the greatness of God. And I'm going to read just a portion of that. As we look at Job 31, 1 through 14, because this part in of itself blew my mind, and it might blow your mind in that sense. Then the Lord spoke to Job from a whirlwind and said, aren't you glad God doesn't talk to us through whirlwinds? Because there was that awe and that fear of God. And you see him there, God says, I'm your God, I'm your Father, and you can come to me in peace and absolute assurance that I will hear you and receive you. So he says, then the Lord spoke to Job from a whirlwind and said, who is this ignorant person saying these foolish things? Talking about Job. Okay, prepare yourself for an attack. Get ready to answer the questions I ask you. I will ask you. Listen to these questions. Where were you when I made the earth? If you are so smart, answer me. And who decided how big the earth should be? Who measured it with a measuring line? What is the earth resting on? Who put the first stone in its place when the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted with joy? Who closed the floodgates as the sea gushed from the womb? Who covered it with clouds and wrapped it in darkness? I set the limits for the sea and put it behind locked gates. I said to the sea, you can come this far, but no further. This is where your proud waves will stop. Did you ever in your life command the morning to begin or the day to dawn? Did you ever tell the morning light to grab the earth and shake those who are evil out of their hiding places? The morning light makes the hills and valleys easy to see. When the daylight comes to the earth, the shapes of these places stand out like the folds of a coat. They take shape like soft clay that is pressed with a stamp. Do we see a picture of the greatness of God just in that short passage? Who are we and who is he and how gracious and loving is God that we can have a relationship with him and approach him and talk to him and love him anytime that we want to? How great is that? In verse 37, it's not up on the board, but this was another verse that just went, pfft. He even counts the clouds. He knows the number of the clouds. You care about the clouds? He's over everything. And guess what? You and I are the joy of all of his creation. We were created in his image to have a relationship with him. How great is our God? Through God's creation, we can see his greatness displayed. We know in Scripture it says that man is without excuse because of creation itself. Just to say, look at creation, and there has to be a God to deny it. It's much easier to believe in creation than it is to believe in the slime Big Bang theory. Through God's creation, we can see his greatness displayed. It's going to be so amazing when we see his greatness in person. That we're allowed to see his greatness in person. The light, the full joy, the absence of a sinful nature, no more struggle with the enemy, a love and a bond between each other in Christ that is inseparable and at its fullest forever. No distrust, no apprehensions, just a love for each other bonded together in such a tight love in him that will never fade away. The knowledge of his greatness that we gain through his word, prayer, listening to his spirit, and being in his presence should automatically cause us to want to keep diving deeper and cause us to share God with others. Now, there's only two reasons why we go to church, in my opinion. One, because we think we ought to and we'll get some points from God, tradition. Or two, because we really are touched by God and receive things from God to help us to grow in God. And so we experience God through our personal relationship, and when we come to worship him, we experience God even in a different manner, and that's one of the reasons why we keep coming back to church, is to hear his word. You don't want to look at me. You want to hear what God has to say through his spirit and his word, right? And so we keep coming back because we've experienced God to some degree that has blessed our heart. And in that, it causes us to want to dive even deeper in God. And in that, we can learn to share God with others. Our experiences, no matter what they are, receiving Christ, you're a new Christian, you're a seasoned Christian, or wherever you are in your walk with God, whatever your experience is with God, we can share with others as God gives us the opportunity. And as we experience God, our love will grow for him as we keep diving deeper. You want to grow deeper in love with God?
Yeah.
If you do. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't cueing you. I was pausing for emphasis. It tells me to do that when you're learning how to preach, so to speak. It worked. So we want to dive deeper into God so that we can know the richness of God more in our relationship. And that should naturally, again, overflow, touch fellow believers, encourage them towards spiritual growth, and reach the lost for salvation in Christ. But, now this is the one part of this message that I can't wait to tell you. I mean it, seriously. One of the reasons why I was excited to come to church today, not that I'm not in the past, not going to dig that hole, but What would you say if that knowledge and experience you gained of God's greatness not only affected you and overflowed to others, but also touched God? What would you say if that knowledge and experience you gained of God's greatness not only affected you and overflowed to others, but also touched God? It's not just the fulfilling of God in our life and the experience of God in our life and the overflow of God in our life for His kingdom work. And all of that is so important. But all of that touches God. And I'm going to explain that. And as I explain this, I don't want you to think of this as a manner of expression. I want you to take what I have to share with you thus, as we go forward, as being, this is God's word. He's saying this. Because what I have to share with you is a bit different than what you're used to hearing. At least I think. So all the things we experience in God by casting our net of faith in Him will cause our heart to overflow in a form of personal, private, and community worship. It's one of the reasons why you come. You experience God in your own personal life and here at church, and you experience it through one another's testimony and witness, okay? We got that. When our heart is full in our relationship with Jesus, we can't help but worship Him. Hear this. If we come to church without a heart that's worshipful, and this is touchy, because I'm in the same category, obviously, then we need to check how full we are in God. We need to check how full we are spiritually. We need to check how much we've taken in God through prayer, through study, through all these things I've been talking about to help rejuvenate us in our walk with God. Because when we're experiencing God through these things that I've already mentioned, we experience a joy in God that should cause our hearts to overflow into worship. Does that make sense? That wasn't an emphasis time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. It does. And so that's a checkpoint for you and I, that if I'm coming to church and I'm not in a worshipful mindset, then the reality is I have not filled myself with the spiritual things of God in my life on a daily basis through the week. A real sidetrack is the story of the virgins that waited for the bridegroom to come. Half had their lamps full, half had their lamps empty. We're to keep our lamps full. Because when the lamp is full, what happens? The oil burns what? Light. And it overflows. And it affects others. And so, our heart is full in our relationship with Jesus. And we can't help but worship Him. And not only worship Him through music, because that's sometimes how we think. We think that's just the only aspect of worship. You could be sitting here hearing the message and the Spirit of God can be stirring your heart in worship. Nobody else would know but God. But also seeking to honor God, which is a form of worship in all our actions. Everything we do to honor God is a form of worship. So it's not just church time. It's our life activity. Do we have the right heart? Do we have the right focus? Do we have the right attitude? Are we walking in step with Jesus and His Spirit? Are we fellowshipping with Him? These type of things are an act of worship because we're honoring Him. That's what worship is. It's honoring God. Okay? Look at John 4:23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The only way you and I are going to worship in the Spirit, which God desires and He looks for, and in truth, is if we do what we ought to do to keep ourselves filled spiritually by having a closer walk with Jesus. Does that make sense? Yes. But that's an option. And it's still an opportunity. We have the option of saying, I will dive deeper. I will cast my net of faith deeper. I will walk closer with God. And in that, I will know him and experience him and love him and know his love for me in greater ways. That is an option. Right? But it's an opportunity. And God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. Now, I haven't gotten to the part that I'm still excited about. Just so you know. True worship in spirit and truth comes from a genuine overflow of our heart because our soul continues to fall deeper in love with him. When we find ourselves kind of drifting off away from God, we should acknowledge that before God and then say, God, help me to do what I need to be back focused on you. When we feel a sense of spiritual depletion, we need to take the steps to get that refilled. Fill our lamps with oil to be the light. And we do that by those basic principles I've already discussed. And so true worship in spirit and truth comes from a genuine overflow of our heart because our soul continues to fall deeper in love with him. Interestingly, the word worship, now this is the part. Okay, this is the part. The word worship in the Greek comes from the word proskuneo, which means to worship or to, what?
Kiss
God. Now, is that a figurative speech? Is that some kind of a whimsical thought? Or is it the word of God? It's the word of God. Now, you can think of a kiss in different ways. I can kiss my wife, and that's one way. I can kiss my grandchildren. That's another way. But how do I kiss God? Where does my kiss or affection for my wife or my grandchildren or my kids come from? And what is happening? It's an overflow of what? Love. For our spouse, for our family, for other people. Now, you're all going to say amen to this, but in other places of the world, biblically we're to embrace each other with a holy kiss. And so you say, whew, because other churches around the world do that, but you can look at it as being Italian, not making fun of Italians. But I'm talking about other cultures where they kiss each other on the cheek when they greet each other. If it's from the heart, hallelujah. It's genuine. It's an overflow instead of just a culture. And when we kiss our spouse or kiss our grandchildren or kiss our kids or give a kiss to each other, whatever, from a heart that overflows in love, that's the intimacy, is it not? That's unique to each person. God wants the intimacy of your heart and my heart to overflow to him in worship. And when we worship him in spirit and truth, with a genuine heart that's overflowing in worship. Now remember, worship's not just singing. Worship's just not listening to the speaker, the preacher, the message. Worship is yielding ourselves to God in a manner that honors him. So if we're at church worshiping God, we're honoring him if it comes from the heart. If we're in Bible study and we're learning and we're taking in and we're praising God and say, God, thank you for showing me that. I never knew that before. Are we not honoring God? Honoring God, worshiping God. So I want you to not walk away from this message as, well, that's a cute little idea. And I don't want you to walk away, especially you guys, thinking, I'm not going to kiss God. Manliness stuff. We're talking about the reality that we are to overflow our hearts of love in Christ to God in worship, that intimacy of heart touches God spiritually in a way that he receives it like a gentle, genuine, intimate kiss to him. Isn't that wonderful? Remember, proskuneo is the word for worship, but it also, and not making it up because it's God's word, it's the word for kiss, intimacy. That's what God wants. It's not, it is an option. We do have the opportunity to experience giving God a kiss. As odd as that sounds, right? But that's what it is. That's what true worship is. We dive deeper because we want that overflow to touch God, that our hearts will fall in love with God and the intimacy of our heart will touch God like a kiss. And how, and when someone, kind of getting, when someone kisses you and you know it's a genuine kiss of love, just be honest, it makes you feel good. We make God feel good in that respect because his children are loving him with a kiss. So yes, you heard me, you and I can kiss God spiritually, and I hope one day personally that God will allow us to give him a kiss. That you know, you think, I can't approach God that way. I can't. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's creator of heaven and earth and all that there is. And when I see him in person one day, I can fall at his feet, maybe hug his feet and kiss his feet. But who is the relationship that we have? How is our relationship with God now? Personal, intimate, real, not pushing you away. So when we see God in person, give him a hug, give him a kiss on the cheek. But in the meantime, while we're here on this journey away from our home, spiritually we can give that intimate kiss to God. So, and that intimacy comes from the overflow of our heart. True spiritual worship is literal and a spiritual act of kissing God, giving him your affection. So I encourage you to dive deeper into the depths of God and his greatness through in-depth study. Now, I'm not saying paleo or whatever. I'm just saying take the step further. Wherever you're at, take it a notch further in your study and your reading and your focus and your prayer, wherever that is. Take it a notch further so you can experience more than a notch more of the presence of God and the greatness of God in your life. Dive deeper into the depths of God and his greatness through in-depth study, prayer, and by spending time in his presence. Who is he again? That creator, the great and awesome God Almighty, as he was telling Job, and he's saying, I want to get as close to you as you will let me, and I want that kiss from you. And that's what God wants. And we have the option and the opportunity to give him just that. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That our Creator says, I want you that much to be that close with you. As your, and we're going to close with this. Has your son or daughter ever come up and given you a kiss on the cheek? Oh, yeah, when they were little, or even when they're adult. On vacation, my son gave me a kiss on the cheek. Of course, then he piled himself on top of me and called my grandson to pile on top of him, and I was gasping for air. But it's love. And it's intimate. And it's appropriate. And we can do that and give that to God as well. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here today. I thank you, Father, for loving us so much that words cannot adequately express the greatness of who you are, because we can't even comprehend the greatness of you if your greatness can't even be contained in the universe that you made. It goes beyond the universe, and it's not measurable. It's eternal. Your greatness is beyond us. And Father, here we live on the little tiny planet of Earth. And then we have all these little human beings running on the face of it. And in every human being, there's a heart and a soul. And how great you are and how great your love is that you know every thought, every intent, everything about us, good and bad, and you still love us. How great is that? May we love you back with a kiss. In Jesus' name, amen.